Information, please. Wake up, America. Time to stump the expert. Any tough questions hidden away in your mind? Well, send them to us with the correct answers. If our editors okay them, the experts every Tuesday night will do their darndest to answer them. And they won't see them in advance. That's a cast iron guarantee. Each question accepted wins you $2. Each question not answered correctly by the board wins you another $5. Our master of ceremonies, snapping the whip tonight, is Clifton Fadiman, literary critic of the New Yorker magazine. Mr. Fadiman.
Thank you. Good evening, everybody. The experts are all journalists this evening.
Not at all.
No, not journalists.
Yeah.
I'm a newspaper man.
That was Mr. Adams.
We're all newspaper men.
You're interrupting this program, gentlemen. All right. You're all newspaper men. All newspaper men, not journalists. Mr. Franklin P. Adams, newspaper man of the New York Post, is here. Yes. You've just heard him. John Kieran, newspaper man of the New York Times. How are the birds and the bees and the flowers this evening, Mr. Kieran?
Very well, thank you.
Thank you. And Mark Duffield, newspaper man of the New York Herald Tribune, is here. All whole, all old hands, everyone. The newcomer, our guest of honor, is Percy Waxman, who is associate editor of the Cosmopolitan magazine. Mr. Waxman, just what exactly do you claim to be an expert in?
Well, I know all last week's answers.
All of last week's answers. Well, we'll briefly run through last week's program, so you'll just listen in for an extra half hour this evening. Okay, so much for our Board of Authority. Now as for the rules and regulations. You know I put the question to the entire board. And if you know the answers, gentlemen, or think you do, you raise your right hand. You all know which one that is. A question composed of no more than two parts must be answered by one man. If the question has more than two parts, the board may cooperate. But if any part is answered wrongly, we lose $5. A 2-year subscription to the Cosmopolitan magazine, Mr. Wagner. When you hear that cash register, that means that the shrewd and able questioner is getting his $5 and deserving it, too. And one more thing, everybody. This is an unrehearsed program. We found it's more fun that way. And just to show you how spontaneous this all is, watch what happens on the first question. Here we go. This comes from Mrs. Mabel W. Sinclair, 3506 Avenue D, Brooklyn, New York. Now listen carefully. I'm going to give you the first line of a long nursery rhyme. You will have to give me the second line. Then I'm going to give you the third line. You're going to give me the fourth. I'm going to give you the fifth, and so on. But we have to go in rotation. Mr. Adams, you will have to make the first answer. Mr. Waxman, you will have to make the second answer. Mr. Chairman, the third. Mr. Duffield, the fourth, and so in rotation again. As soon as any of you flop, we lose the $5. In other words, there cannot be a single incorrect response. Are you ready? Or don't you understand what I'm driving at?
Play.
All right. It's a nursery rhyme beginning. 1, 2.
Buckle my shoe.
3, 4.
Knock at the door.
5, 6. Pick up sticks. 7, 8.
Mr. Duffield.
7, 8.
Slow freight.
No, sir. That is going to lose us $5, which is rung up now. Going to Mrs. Mabel W. Sinclair for a very clever question indeed. And now, just for the fun of it, we'll go on and see whether we can get the rest of the nursery rhyme. In rotation again. 7, 8, Mr. Adams.
Lay them straight.
9, 10.
My fat hen.
More or less, a big fat hen. Don't be so possessive. 11, 12.
Sure.
I pass.
That does not rhyme. That doesn't rhyme. Pass never rhymes itself. No, 11, 12. Volunteer.
Jig and Dell.
13, 14.
Major Corton.
15, 16. Volunteer.
Maid of the kitchen.
Mr. Adams gets small time. 17, 18.
Maids in waiting.
Correct, Mr. Adams. 19, 20.
Something in front.
The fact is empty.
Correct, Mr. Adams. Or my stomach's empty. pretty good for Mr. Adams, I think. Remembering all the way back to his childhood. How many years ago was that about, Mr. Adams?
Seems like yesterday.
Well, I think I did very well on a question which could be answered very easily by a 6-year-old child, but not by our expert. Well, it isn't so easy to do that when you're as old as all of us are. The second question from Miss Elizabeth Mutel, Concord Street, North Wilmington, Massachusetts. What mixed drink do the following suggest? Considerable look of interest has just come on the faces of my ears. What mixed drink do the following suggest? You have to get 4 out of 5. 1. An island. Volunteers. Miss Chair.
Manhattan.
Correct. 2. A wedding. That isn't so easy.
Golden rye.
Golden rye. How do you associate that exactly with a wedding, Mr. Waxman?
You got me there.
Well, it's probably some subtle association in your life that I wouldn't know. No, I'm afraid I'll have to mark that wrong. Does anyone know the right answer? That's not an easy one. I don't blame you for losing on that.
Why don't you skip it and we'll try it again?
I've got a thought on that, Mr. Fatima.
Yes,
isn't there an apple blossom?
Not an apple blossom, but an
orange.
Attaboy. Orange blossom. That's correct. 3, an operetta. And frankly, this is the hardest of all of them. An operetta. Mr. Waxman is in a brown study with white window trim and an open fireplace. Anybody know that? That's not easy.
Mr. Fatima is looking smug because he has the answer laid out right in front of him.
That's true, Mr. Duffield. You should see how smug I can look when I really want to be smug. An operetta. Well, I think Miss Elizabeth Mutel is going to win her $5 for a very clever question pretty soon, unless we get the proper answer, which is what? I'm sorry, it's The Pink Lady. The Pink Lady, an operetta. Who wrote it? Anyone know who wrote Pink Lady?
Yes,
Mr.
Carol.
Carol, correct.
I beg pardon?
C-A-R-Y-L.
Is that correct? I wouldn't know.
Yeah, and Hazel Dawn played in it.
That loses us $5. That's correct. Now, the next is a hornet. Let's see if you can do well on the last two. A hornet. Miss Carrick.
Miss Stinger.
Correct. And 5, a conqueror. A conqueror. Conqueror. Mr. Carrick.
Alexander.
Alexander is correct. We got 3 out of the 5, I believe.
And you have ruined my reputation.
Oh, no. We'll come back and get something easy for you, Mr. Carrick. Would any of you gentlemen care for a nice, clear glass of water now after that question? Too wrong so far. But very, very hard questions to begin with, I think. The next one from Miss N.C. Kearney, 7th Floor Courthouse, St. Paul, Minnesota. 7th Floor Courthouse. Yes, that's the address. Question. Name the state most commonly associated with the following political movement. You have to get 4 out of 5 on this. 1. EPIC. E-P-I-C, EPIC. Mr. Adams?
California.
Correct. Nonpartisan League. Mr. Duffield?
South Dakota.
You're a little wrong on your...
Direction?
On your direction. North Dakota, yes. 3, progressive. Mr. Duffield?
Wisconsin.
Correct. 4, farmer labor. Mr. Waxman?
Minnesota.
Correct. 5, share of the wealth. Mr. Wax.
Louisiana.
I think that's pretty good. Very good indeed. Next, from Mr. George E. Harriman, 111 West 16th Street of this city. Quote at least one line from each of 3 poems referring to a mouse or mice. One line from each of 3 poems referring to a mouse or mice. Mr. Sharon, volunteer.
Give me one from Burns to a mouse.
All right.
We, timorous, sleeked, cowering beastie, all what a panic's in thy breastie.
That's correct. Very good indeed. A nice bit of quotation. Very, very apt. And, Mr. Adams.
The best laid plans of mice and men. All mice and men.
What's the end of that line? Do you know the last 3?
Gang F. Aglaé.
That's correct. And where's that from?
John Steinbeck.
We need one more. Mr. Waxman.
Dickory, Dickory, Dock. The mouse went up the clock.
That's very cute, Mr. Waxman. The experts are redeeming themselves on what I think are pretty, pretty hard questions. The next one from Mr. Louis Tobias, 9594th Street, Delort, Wisconsin.
is an interesting question. Name the principles involved in each of the following cues. This question, ladies and gentlemen, comes to us through the courtesy of General Q. They didn't like that. Principles involved in each of the following cues, and there are five of them. One, two early American statesmen. Two early American statesmen. Doesn't take us how early they were. Mr. Adams.
Hamilton and Burr.
Correct. Two radio comedians. Two radio comedians. Mr. Waxman?
Ben Burney and Walter Winslow.
No, I don't think I'd accept that. Not for two radio comedians. I don't think that Mr. Winslow, though he has many talents, would exactly be classed as a professional comedian. I'd have to count that wrong, I think. What is the correct answer on that? Mr. Kerr?
Well, I'd give Charlie McCarty and W.C. Fields for him.
Might accept that, but I think there's one that's much more famous. A radio feud between two comedians. The studio audience knows it. We're going to hire them next time.
Don't mean you and me, do they?
Gosh, I wish I did, Mr. Adams. It's nice of you, though. No, they'd be Jack Benny and Fred Allen, I think.
Wouldn't they?
Yes. Jack Benny and Fred Allen. Now, two Washington, D.C. social leaders of the Hoover administration period. Ms. Sharon?
Dolly Gann and Mrs. Alice Roosevelt Longworth.
Yes, that's correct. Alice Longworth. two Southern Mountaineer families. That's, I guess, the most famous feud in American history. Ms. Sharon?
The Hatfields and the McCoys.
That's correct. And finally, an orchestra leader and a newspaper man. Well, they might get that this time.
Burney and Winchell.
I beg pardon?
Winchell and Burney, or Burney and Winchell?
Correct.
As you will.
That's correct. We did lose, however, on one of them, and we have to get all of them. That's going to cost us $5 a piece. And now that you've mentioned Mr. Winchell, I'd like to make a special announcement which shows you, ladies and gentlemen, just what kind of experts we really have on this program. Mr. Winchell, in one of his columns a little while ago, I think it was on August 18th, said that I was swindled by Mr. Adams, so far as possible, out of something or other. He said that in response to the query, name five song titles in which the body is mentioned, Mr. Adams said, because my hair is curly, as one of the song titles. And Mr. Winchell says that the name of the ditty in which that line appears is Shine. In other words, Mr. Adams should have said, Shine is the title. And so, says Mr. Winchell, we listeners was robbed. Well, Mr. Adams comes right back in, controls the paper, too, in the Post of August 20th, and he says that there is a song, or was a song, called Not Because Your Hair is Curly, which was current about 1905. Maybe Mr. Winchell can't remember that far back. And what was the next line after that, Mr. Adams?
Not Because Your Eyes Are Blue.
Not Because Your Eyes Are Blue. So, information please is right. Never mind, Mr. Adams. Nevertheless, we're very grateful to Mr. Winchell for picking us up, and we may make an error sometime or other. He'll catch it if we do. Never made one yet. Six, from Mr. Clinton M. Long, 92 West River Street, Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. Quote the well-known lines that follow each of a given quotation. Now, you have to give two out of three. The three quite well-known quotations, and you have to give the succeeding lines. One, but there is neither east nor west, border nor breed nor birth. Volunteers, Mr. Kieran?
When two strong men stand face to face, so they come from the ends of the earth.
Nice elocution. Where is that from, Mr.
Kipling's
Kieran?
East is West. East is East and West is West.
Well, make up your mind.
Well, Ballad of East and West.
Ballad of East and West, that's correct. And very good, too, I think. Second, she leaned far out on the windowsill and shook it forth with a royal will. Mr. Kieran knows it already. Mr. Kieran?
No, that's the wrong one.
I don't know that.
I'll say it over again.
I'll say it over again, sure. She leaned far out on the windowsill and shook it forth with a royal will. The it does not refer to the windowsill.
Barbara Fritchie.
Yes, but can you give me the next two lines, Mr. Adams? That's correct. Barbara Fritchie is correct. The two most famous lines in Barbara
Who Fritchie. Touches the hair of yon gray head?
No. Not quite. Miss Kieran?
Shoot if you must. this old gray head, but spare your country's flag, she said.
Yes, sir.
That's pretty good. The boys are coming up to scratch. Three. No refuge could save the hireling and slave from the terror of flight or the gloom of the grave. No refuge could save the hireling and slave from the terror of flight or the gloom of the grave. You don't know that one. Well, I am surprised. I am surprised. Don't know the last two lines. The last two lines are, and the star-spangled banner in triumph of waves for the land of the free and the home of the brave. However, they got two out of three by the skin of their teeth. Well, that is a tough one. It shows us that we all should know the star-spangled banner and don't. Now, we're very glad to get the next question because it comes from a leading intellectual light. And it shows that leading intellectual life listen to our program, and we're very happy to know that they do. This question comes from Professor Morris R. Cohen, who is Professor Emeritus of Philosophy at the College of the City of New York, and now lecturer in philosophy at the University of Chicago. And I suppose that Professor Cohen is one of the most learned men in our country, and the question that he's evolved is one that you would expect to come from a mind of his caliber. Professor Cohen is the author of Positivism and the Limits of Legal Idealism. He is author of Jurisprudence as a Philosophical Discipline. And he is author of a series of macrocosms and microcosms in the history of philosophy, Mr. Cherry.
And a honey it is, too.
Yes. Adams loves that one.
I thought there was no advertising on this program.
Well, we don't mind advertising our questions.
Oh.
We don't like to advertise our experts. We let them do that. And I'd like to say that the late Justice Cardozo, just to scare you gentlemen even further, has said of Professor Cohen that he was amazed at the range of Professor Cohen's erudition in law and philosophy, at the keenness of his perceptions, at the freshness and vigor of his thought, and at the compelling and arresting charm and incisiveness of his literary style. Now, Professor Cohen sends us the following question. What two National League baseball teams, only one of them... Do that again. What two National League baseball teams only won the pennant once each? I think I've got the right card. Yep, that's the question. What two National League baseball teams only won the pennant once each? From the author of Theories of Macrocosms and Microcosms in the History of Philosophy.
Well, I'll try it offhand.
Right.
Cincinnati?
That's correct. But there's one more.
Well, I know Brooklyn won in 1920. I know they haven't won. Oh, they, yes, they won in 1916, too. Let's see.
It really is a tough one.
Philadelphia.
That's correct. Thank you very much, Mr. Now, Mr. Carey must have a very long memory indeed, because Philadelphia won the pennant all the way back in 1915. That's a pretty long time ago. Mr. Carey, I congratulate you. Mr. Kieran, pretty good. Eight, from Mr. Thomas S. MacArthur, 60 Mount Pleasant Avenue, Troy, New York. Mr. MacArthur wants you to identify the creators of four out of five of the following characters. They are Bill Sykes, Ashley Wilkes, Rose Kelly, Professor Moriarty, and Madam Queen. I'll go over them slowly, one by one. One, Bill Sykes. Identify Bill Sykes, Mr. Duffield.
Charles Dickens.
That's correct. What the book? You don't have to give the book. All you have to do is identify the creator, but I'd like to have it.
Bold Curiosity Shop.
Oliver Twist.
Oliver Twist. A little off on that, Mr. Adams. Two, Ashley Wilkes. Ashley Wilkes. Mr. Kieran?
That's in Gone with the Wind.
That's correct. The author of that is?
Margaret Mitchell,
Mr. Waxman. Quite correct. Three, Rose Kelly. That's perhaps the hardest one. You have to have a pretty good memory to go back and get Rose Kelly. I'll skip it and get back to it, gentlemen, if you wish. All right. Mr. Kieran always likes me to come back to these. I don't know why. Four, Professor Moriarty. You have to get four out of five. Professor Moriarty, Mr. Waxman?
Conan Doyle, Sherlock Holmes.
That's correct. Five, Madam Queen. Madam Queen, Miss Kieran?
Well, that's in that radio skit, Amos and Andy.
That's correct. Now we've won on that because we have 4 out of 5 already. See if we can get Rose Kelly, which is the hardest one. I think they've done pretty well. Mr. Adams.
Abie's Irish Rose.
That's correct. Abie's Irish Rose. Now, so far, we have lost the sum of $20, which is fair, which is fair. No, $15. I made a mistake. I'm sorry. $15. But I think the questions this evening are exceptionally hard. Not that we can afford $15. We can. The next question comes from Mr. Donald Nevins of Cleveland, Ohio. The following are the first names of a movie actor, a character in literature, a violinist, and a dramatist. You have to identify each and give the last name. And there are 4 names as follows. Misha, Masha, Yasha, Sasha. Misha, that's a movie actor. Mr. Waxman?
Misha Auer.
Misha Auer, Mr. Waxman, is quite correct. To Masha. Raise hands, please. Masha. M-A-S-C-H-A. That is a character in literature. That's a tough one.
Sounds like Chekhov.
Fairly near, but not good enough. Mr. Waxman?
Depends on that. I think that's Tolstoy.
Yes. What book?
Resurrection.
That's quite correct, Mr. Waxman. I think that's pretty good. Yasher, who is a violinist. That's not so hard. Miss Kieran?
Heifetz.
Heifetz, correct. 4, Sasha, a dramatist. Mr. Duffield?
Guitry.
Guitry, that's correct. All 4 correct. I just thought of one that's not on the cards. And Hasha, which is the first name of a lullaby. Hasha. Any of you?
By baby.
That's correct. Thank you, Mr. Adam. I got all 5 of them, by God. Now.
And there was Sasha Little Queen.
How,
that was a play.
Sasha what?
Sasha Little Queen.
Sasha Little Queen. You don't want to go on with it, do you, Mr. Adams?
I don't mind.
I'm satisfied, if you are. Next one from Miss Dorothy S. Lengel, 5th Avenue, Phoenixville, Pennsylvania. Name the principal, and note the word principal, the principal villain in each of the following books. You have to get 4 out of 5. 1. Treasure Island, the principal villain. Mr. Kieran.
Long John Silver.
Quite correct. Vanity Fair. Volunteers, please. Miss Adams?
Lord Stein.
I won't accept it.
No?
I know you think it's right.
Rawdon Crawley.
I won't accept that either. Mr. Kieran.
It's the girl.
You bet it is. What's her name?
Jackie Sharp.
Jackie Sharp is the principal villain. Miss Adams, I know what you're thinking. You want me to say villainess.
That's
I won't do it. You got that wrong. All right. Sir, Tom Sawyer. And that isn't so easy either. Jackie Sharp was a sticker. Tom Sawyer, principal villain.
It's the man who killed Indian Joe.
No, you've got...
Injun Joe?
Injun Joe.
No, it was Injun Joe himself.
Oh, Injun.
Yes, Injun Joe himself was the villain. Mutiny on the Bounty. The villain in Mutiny on the Bounty, Mr. Duffy.
Captain Bly.
Yes, or Charles Lawton. And the 5th one is really a sticker. If you get this, boys, you're good. Of course, you're good anyway, but if you get this, you're better. Jack the Giant Killer. Jack the Giant Killer. The villain in Jack the Giant Killer. Mr. Adams.
The Giant.
Yes, the Giant. The Giant is correct, but I want his name, Mr. Adams. I want the Giant's name. Anyone know the name of the Giant?
C-5-4-5.
It's a good song, but it's not the name of the Giant. That was merely his radio signature. No, his name was Blunderbore, and I don't blame you for not knowing that one. Does anyone here blame them for not knowing Blunderbore? No, the audience is all with him this evening. Nevertheless, gentlemen, Miss Dorothy S. Lengel, for a very clever question, wins $5. Thank you. The next one from Mr. William Shirley of Cincinnati, Ohio. What do each of the following well-known terms mean? There are 3 of them. The open door, the British lifeline, and irredentism. The open door, Mr. Duffield.
is the policy of keeping China open for trade of all nations.
Yes, that's quite correct. Would that be applied also to any backward country in a pinch, if it were in China?
I suppose it said in pinch, but it always has been in China.
Always has been in China. That's quite correct, Mr. Duffield. The British lifeline. Mr. Duffield again.
The route through the Mediterranean Sea and the Indian Ocean to the British colonies.
That's quite correct. Now, why do they call us the British lifeline?
Because that's the only way they can get their supplies from the colonies in case of war.
That's quite correct. Three, irredentism. Irredentism, Mr. Duffield.
This is a desire on the part of a nation to get back territory lost to another power, specifically Italian irredentism in the Tyrol.
Yes, and or Trieste. Trieste. That's quite correct. Three out of three. Very good, I think, Mr. Duffield. Now, how'd you like the question on limericks, gentlemen? Any objections? They look pained. I think I'll give you a question on limericks. This is a combination, comes from two people. Mr. Evan C. Douglas of Albuquerque, New Mexico, and Mr. Milton Goldberg of 78 Montague Street, Brooklyn, New York, send us the following. You have to give the last line.
Did they meet somewhere, these boys?
They meet in Kansas, something like that. I think Kansas is the middle of the country. They meet in Kansas. Give the last line of the following limerick. Two out of three. There was a young lady named Flynn who was so exceedingly thin that when she essayed to drink lemonade, Miss Adams,
she fell through the straw and dropped in.
And if you ask me how Mr. Adams knows these things, I can't tell. I assure you it is not mental telepathy from me to him.
I've made this a life work, Mr. F.
Is it really your life work, Limerick? Mm. Glad to know that. Thank you very much, Mr. Adams. And I thought you were a humorist. Two, there was an old lady from Hyde who ate some green apples and died. Well, within the lamented, the apples fermented. That's a tough one.
She found she had cider inside.
That's very good. The exact line is, and made cider inside her inside. But yours is very good indeed. Well, that's two out of three. We've won. Now, the third one is really a tough one. Are you all set, boys? Very good. There was a soprano named Anna got caught in a flood in Montana. As she floated away, her sister, they say... I just thought of another ending for that one.
Do you mind repeating that?
Not at all. You like it, do you, Mr. Waxman?
I like the way you render it.
You like the way I read it?
Yes.
Mr. Waxman is one of the pleasantest persons we've ever had on this program. I'm going to have him again. There was a soprano named Anna got caught in a flood in Montana. As she floated away, her sister, they say...
Mistook her for a banana?
Well, it's nice of you, Mr. Duffield. Let us have that. I'm afraid it's not quite good enough. A desperate, well-meant attempt. Can't do it, eh? Well, the classic response to that is, as she floated away, her sister, they say, accompanied her on the piano. Or you might say, exclaim, my, what a liquid soprano.
Because we do just as well.
No rhyme.
That rhyme.
Pardon me, Mr. Waxman?
No rhyme.
We can't accept that rhyme.
You won't accept
piano and...
You don't like
banana?
Yeah, no.
The boys are taking over the program. We have time for one more, do you think? No, I'm afraid we won't. No more tonight. Now, we've lost in all, and this, I think, is one of the most difficult sets of questions we've ever had, the sum of $20, or four questions wrong. And in my opinion, the experts have done remarkably well under pretty heavy odds. Matter of fact, I get gladder and gladder that all I have to do is ask the questions, not answer them. Now, the lineup for next week... Mr. Karen and Miss Adams and Mr. Ben Hecht, the famous playwright, and also Mr. Oscar Levant, our musical encyclopedia. And now Mr. Case, over at the other mic, wants to remind you of the rules governing the contest. Good night, thanks, and come again.